Welcome to our next episode from Lessons from the Resilience Whisperer, the Hospitality Edition. Dennis Hoiberg here, and still with John from Licorice.
Morning, Dennis.
Morning, John. John, one of the things I'm particularly interested in is, because my own interest, of course, is emotional well-being and emotional resilience. Mm-hmm. Right? Now, I define resilience as your ability to bounce forward through change, but you've got to be able to deal with change, right? And I'd be interested to know, from your perspective, the type of people and the types of habits that people have in this industry, the hospitality industry, that they must acquire, almost they've got to acquire based on your own experiences to survive in this industry, you know? From your own life experience and your lived experiences, what are the types of characteristics are we looking for in there? What are the types of habits? What are the types of, I guess, personalities? What's the type of skills that people need in your own experience?
Well, I think you probably need pretty thick skin to start with. I mean, you can't take things too personally. I think that's probably the main thing. Otherwise, you just do get down, you know. Yeah. And I think maybe you need to take it slow, and maybe the employer needs to take it a bit slower too with the people coming into the industry, because you can't know everything overnight. But usually the heat's on straight away. You know, it doesn't slow down for anyone. So you need to be organised. You need common sense. You need to be able to basically be ready each day with be organised, be prepared. Those sort of attributes, which I think is probably just everyone needs them in life anyway, don't they? But if you can't organise yourself, get prepared for a day, you get swallowed up by the day. It moves pretty quick.
I reckon so. You know, people often say to me, Dennis, you know, what do you look for in people? And I've got a saying that I use a lot now, and that is, look, my first piece of advice is don't be a dickhead.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of, and people look at me, they smile at me, and they say, what does that mean? I said, well, the first thing is, take what you do seriously, but don't take yourself seriously. Yeah. I mean, some of those folks that I work with who take themselves seriously, they're the ones who are most exposed to criticism. You know, the first slightest piece of criticism is, that goes to my heart, that goes to my self-esteem. And no, it's not just people being robust, just people taking the piss sometimes,
you know.
And if people can't handle that at the first stage, and I worry about people, especially in an industry like this, I would have thought.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. If you've got no sense of humour, you're gonna get churned out pretty quick.
I would have thought that's a big one.
Yeah. I mean, you could be flexible, you know, as well. Otherwise, you get broken.
Flexible in what way?
Well, you've got to be, you know, flexible in that things are changing all the time. No one day is the same as the other. No one hour is the same as the last hour. No day is the same. And there's also a little bit of monotony involved as well. You've got to be able to sort of get over that monotony of it, especially high-end restaurants where it has to be the same every time. Every dish has to be exactly the same as the last one you serve. Taste the same, look the same, feel the same. And that can become a little bit monotonous, especially for a young chef who's like, oh, I've finally made it to a great restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's like, wow, this is more than a factory than I would assume, you know. So.
Do you reckon, one of the other things I always ask people is, why do you do what you do, you know? Why are you here, you know? And if you're here, and if you can answer that question quickly, I don't worry for you. But if you look at me and say, oh, I don't know, then I worry about it, you know what I mean?
Mm.
I mean, I'm sure there are people who are in the industry from a sheer transactional number of hours, give me dollars per hour, because that's going to help me with my hex bill, it's going to help me with my rent, it's going to, and that's okay. You've got to understand that's why you're here. But if you're here because you're actually driven by the ability to, or you want to make enjoyable experiences, and it's a really clear message, I think, in terms of understand why you're here, why you're doing what you're doing.
I agree. I mean, that, you know, a lot of the front of house people come for that reason, to pay their hex debt or to put themselves through uni or whatever. I think people might go into the industry with ideas that, you know, they might have cooked well for their family at home.
Yeah, you know.
So there's that reason. But there are other people that have, I mean, it's hard to go to a bookstore or turn the TV on without seeing something to do with this industry now. You know, it's huge. And then I guess there's that drive, that you know, ambition to maybe, you could become quite famous. Like, some chefs are like rock stars, aren't they?
Very small minority, mate.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, you see it on social media, you see it on TV, you see that, you know, that people are more famous, easily more famous these days because of things like Instagram.
Yeah, yeah.
You could have, you know, 30,000 followers as a chef. Mm. I don't.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean, yeah. You know. So there's
a worry that you don't have 30,000.
No, doesn't worry me, but I'm sure.
But this is mean by how seriously do you take yourself?
I mean, yeah, yeah.
If, you know, one of the things we know about social media is bloody hell. You know, if you don't like my post, then you must not like me.
Yeah, yeah. You can get caught up in that, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, and there's, I guess there's a generation of people coming up through this industry that's the way they've lived their whole life. You know, it's the younger kids coming in, and it's an important factor to their whole life,
Yeah. Their
whole being.
So I've often heard people use an expression, and we joke about it: "Push on, chef."
Yeah.
You know, just keep going.
Yeah,
keep going.
Yeah.
Is that a feature?
Absolutely. I think it's a massive feature, yeah. I mean, because there's no other alternative sometimes. You need to keep going, otherwise, you know, the slightest little thing can derail the whole service. And it sounds trivial and a little bit pathetic, really, doesn't it? But in the heat of the moment, if someone lets down that team, because of all the pressure that's on everybody, it's a massive, massive thing, and you know, and they will be told, you know, they will be
in no uncertain terms.
Yeah.
Look, it seems to me this industry, the more I hear you talk about it, the more I read about it, is the personal well-being of individuals is just so important.
Yeah,
you know, they've just got to take personal responsibility. A friend of that we both know, I remember a story that he was telling me that the amount of coffee that he would drink, he couldn't sleep at night.
Yeah.
And then he worked out the amount of coffee he would drink. He'd get to work. The first thing he does when he gets to work is have a coffee.
Yeah.
The first thing someone walks past, he might only take a sip out of the cup of coffee, but he has a coffee.
Yeah.
Then he has another coffee. Then midday, I have a coffee.
Yeah.
After the first busy period, have a bit of a deep breath over a coffee.
Yeah, it's all day.
Midway through the afternoon, have a coffee, a bit of a pick up.
Yeah.
If they work in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So you could easily drink 12 to 15 cups of coffee a day.
Yeah.
And is there any wonder you don't sleep?
Yeah. The same thing happens with some chefs with cigarettes as well. Like they'll, okay. You know, they'll get to work, they'll have that first coffee, they'll have a cigarette. They'll do a little job at their bench, go and have a quick cigarette. It might. And like you said, it could be a sip, could be just a puff, but they're always doing that. And
so it becomes a habit.
It's a habit.
A very dysfunctional habit.
It's a habit. And a lot of chefs, it sounds silly as well because you're around great food all day. A lot of chefs will be going through a drive-through in the morning because they've slept as long as they can sleep. They've had their shower. They've got their stuff together. They've got their breakfast at a drive-through, fast food. They work all day, you know, 12, 13 hours. Then everything else is shut by the time they go home. Back to that same drive-through. They've had that for dinner. And that's what they're living on. Lack of sleep, heaps of coffee. And you know, once the coffee period's finished, then it's the alcohol period, you know. So it is that, like you said, a habit and a vicious cycle of poor nutrition, poor sleep, and poor diet.
It's some of the staff we know here. I mean, the younger people, so they'll leave here at end of shift, might be 10 o'clock at night, and go to a party.
Yeah,
and they'll sleep in, which is fair. I mean, that's just life for them, of course. Yeah. So this personal habits and personal discipline must be really important in this game. Must be really important. It's about sleep. It's about your nutrition.
Mm.
You know, it's about limiting alcohol, I suspect. It's about getting vitamin D for a start. So if you're in, if you're indoors all day, if you're in a chef all day, you know, in that little room out the back there, you've got to get out.
You do. I reckon that's probably a huge factor of it as well. Years ago, working in England, we would start work at, you know, 6 in the morning. And you would leave at 12, 1 o'clock in the morning and you would see literally no daylight for months, you know. So, yeah, it is a difficult industry to have a habitual lifestyle that is conducive to health. It really is.
I guess it's the same in any shift work environment. Do you guys have – do you regular shifts or do you – you know, your front of office type, front of house. Do you have regular shifts or are they bloody moving around?
I mean, the back of house is more regular, and the front of house is you might have your regular staff, but then a lot of it's casual that come and go when you need them.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the whole lot of casual, isn't it?
But, you know, you say that it could be the same with all shift work, but a lot of other industries you might do shift work in a way that you work your four nights and then you have the next 4 days off, or, you know, the shift work, whereas here it's just between 12 and 18 hours a day every day. And then you might, if you're lucky, get 2 days off in a row, but a lot of the time you don't. You just get 1 day here and then 1 day at the end of the week, because you need to be here when people want to go out.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that... And like we said in our first podcast, you don't have that huge pool of employees to cover it. You know, you can't say, oh, you work four or five hours and get someone else in to do the next 4 or 5 hours, because you can't afford that.
Can't afford it.
Yeah. So you end up working the 10, 12, 13, 14-hour shifts every day.
So what are the lessons you've learned about your own well-being? What do you do?
Well, it's been a long, long learning curve. I mean, I don't drink anymore, alcohol anymore. Which
did you?
Yeah, I did in a way that it became unmanageable, really. Mm. So, I mean, I have a meditation practice as well.
You meditate?
Yeah. Mm. So, and that's helped. Oh, it's helped in a big way, but not just with life, you know, with everything. I try to get sleep. I exercise, you know, I exercise a lot, which is not something you see very often out of with employees, particularly in the kitchen. I keep going back to that for being a chef, but yeah, a lot of guys that work in kitchens aren't very healthy.
You recently did a 65K run from the north of Bali to the bottom of Bali Hope.
Yeah, 84K.
84, sorry. Yeah, 84. That's 65 miles.
Yeah.
Why? Was that part of this meditation, part of your routine?
Yeah, well, I mean, that was a bit more about, well, there was a lot of two different things going on. I really wanted to test myself, but also it was a charity run, so it was a real chance to give back.
Mm.
For me, like, I get a little bit, you know, like we take it, like we said before, we take ourselves so seriously in this industry, like what we're doing is life and death. And I just get a little bit over this industry being, making ourselves feel so important. For all we're doing is feeding people that can afford it.
Mm.
You know, and I just wanted to give something back to people that couldn't afford it. So it was a charity run for education for kids in the north of Bali. So that was a big part behind it. But, yeah, it was just more about giving back, really, and getting healthy and fit, you know. It sort of corresponded with me not drinking anymore as well. So
was there a point that made you do that? You know, you said it took you a while to get there, but was there a point that said, well, you know what, I'm going to bloody change what I do and how I do it?
Yeah. I mean, there was lots of points, but I think at the end of the day, for people like me anyway, you just get sick of the pain. You just get sick of feeling miserable. You get sick of, you know, you just get sick of it. Yeah.
But you took control. You took responsibility. Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, absolutely. And I think that's the only person that can take responsibility for yourself is yourself. So.
And so, I mean, in this industry then, that's like any industry, like any walk of life, you've got to bloody take responsibility for your own
I think so. I mean, I think that's the only way out of the misery and the pain is really take responsibility for that misery and pain. You know?
It might mean that you have to come to a realization of, gee, this isn't for me.
Absolutely, you
know?
Yeah.
I need to go somewhere else and find some other thing.
Yeah, and I don't think you can change that overnight either. I think that's where you need to take your time and be kind to yourself a little bit. It's great that you come to that realization, but then give yourself a bit of time. You don't have to quit your job that day. You know, put things in place to, you know, make the changes that you feel you need to make.
Do you ever do debriefs with the staff? Do you ever sit down with the staff and say...
Oh, less here, but in previous restaurants, yeah, absolutely, we do. When you know, we've had... Justine and I have had restaurants where we've had many more employees than we do here, you know, kitchen staff of 8, 9, and a higher end of food...
Yeah.
And service, where you need debriefing. Everyone needs to know, because like I said before, things change so quickly as well, and no one day is the same as the last. So definitely we have debriefings.
You know, I think part of the personal care is this personal debrief as well as a business debrief. I reckon a lot of the places that I equate to your workplace, there's confusion between operational control, right? When we're cooking something or when we're preparing something, there's no room to talk back. There's no room for negotiation. This is the way it's going to be. But there's also leadership stuff that says, how are you travelling on, mate? You know, have those type of conversations.
Yeah.
Are you coping all right? You know? Yeah. Do you realise last night when I did what I did it because of this, and this, not because I think you're a dickhead? Yeah. You know, that type of conversation.
Yeah, I agree that that's probably something that needs to happen a lot more. I
don't know if you... Yeah, I agree, but are people trained? Is that part of the SA, stand-up operating procedure?
No, not at all, no. That boils down to personally who's in charge of that kitchen, you know. I like to try and this hasn't always been the case, but I like to try and, you know, have a chat with the young people as well and see what they're interested in, you know, or tell them about something that you're interested in, you know. Tell them about a book you've read. Tell them about what you're doing, you know, and have a bit of interest in them. And I think it makes for a better work environment, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But no, you're not trained to do that at all. Yeah. And you know, a lot of the time that person in charge of that kitchen is under a lot of pressure.
Oh. Not only from a food preparation, but from a business perspective too, I'd imagine. Yeah. Cash flow, margins.
Yeah. You're looking at the clock thinking,
your own personal issues.
Yeah. Yeah, you're always looking at that clock thinking, this person is costing me every second that they're here. They're costing me money, you know. I need people to come through the door so I can pay my bills, you know. So there's a lot of pressure on people. And then, you know, even if it's not an owner-operator, they're under pressure from someone above them who's under pressure from someone above them.
Yep.
So there's a lot of the heat's on.
Yep. You hear a lot about comments about, people before profitability, right? But if you go into those businesses, I reckon a lot of profitability dominates a lot of conversation.
Yeah, right? I think so. Especially when people are pushed to the wall, you know, which is this industry, from what I can tell, most people are, you know. There's a place closing every day.
And if not closing, they're for sale, aren't they?
Yeah, you can walk into anywhere and say, how much do you want for this? And if they can get out, they'll get out, you know. I imagine it's hard for a lot of people.
So look, in summary, if we were to talk about the mental well-being, it's about having a thick skin. It's first of all, it's understanding why you're doing what you're doing. If you're only there for money, that's fine. That's fine. Yeah. Just understand it.
Yeah.
If you're there for a deeper calling, well, that's fine too. But understand why you do. Don't take yourself too seriously, which is part of this thick skin type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Have good habits. Exercise. Sleep.
Yeah.
When you're not on work, go and sit out in the sunshine. Get a bit of vitamin D. Surround yourself with good people you can talk to when you're having a tough time, buddy. Make sure there's someone in your circle or say, mate, how are you travelling?
Yeah.
In a genuine way, not just a bloody, you know, in a transactional way. Have good relationships with people, you know. I think also have a life outside the business too. I mean, I know you structure your life so you can take the kids to school and you've got a couple of days with Justine where you can just do a bit of work and support her and her businesses.
I'm lucky in that sense, but I don't know if everyone has that same luxury. But we've put procedures in place to make that the case.
And I think that almost becomes an employee retention strategy, doesn't it? If you're showing flexibility to someone, they'll show flexibility back to you.
You'd like to think.
Any other final tips in terms of self-help strategies for you?
I think it's, you know, this day and age, it's a lot easier to connect to podcasts you know, where you can get information quickly, freely, and that can be quite helpful. Podcasts have been helpful to me.
Have they?
Yeah, really.
Do you have any preferred podcasts besides this one, of course?
This is my favourite. Oh, yeah, I've got some go-to ones. I mean, and they're not necessarily, they're not hospitality-focused at all. But, I love the Rich Roll podcast. That's been a huge...
Who's that?
Rich Roll.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a huge factor in my life. I've learned a lot through that podcast. I listen to a lot of, you know, running podcasts, obviously.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, I think the beauty of this type of technology is you can engage with these things and you realise, gee, you know what? I can relate to that. That's exactly what I'm bloody going through.
Yeah.
So I'm not on my own.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I understand that I'm actually quite normal, for want of a better word. I hate that word, but
yeah,
I'm quite okay because, gee, everyone else is going through this.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't feel so alienated, I
think. Yeah, yeah, or isolated or alone, all those types of things.
Yeah. And I think they can freely talk on their podcast too, because they don't have anyone telling them what to do or what to say or how long to talk for. You know, they're genuine conversations.
Yeah.
Which I like.
Yeah, yeah. Having you just said no one's going to tell me how long we're going to talk for.
That's the end.
That's the end.
Yeah.
So In our next podcast, we might talk about communication skills, people management skills, you know, those types of things within the hospitality industry. What are the types of things where we can make people feel included and inclusive within the industry, where they feel in control of their own lives as opposed to just being part of the system? So, mate, once again, thanks for your time.
No problem.
I love the coffee you make.
Thanks.
Look after yourself. Look after your family. Look after your mates. And look after your community.
Will do.
Make it a better world.
Thanks, Dad.
See you, buddy.